Well, let's look at the Word of God, and we're going through Spirit-led character. So if you want to follow along, I'm going to bounce around a bit in Scripture. So the text is Galatians 5:25 or 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, and we're going to look at joy. I always remember somebody telling me, well, you know the way that you spell joy is it's Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And then I became a counselor and dealt with people who are always totally burnt out because it's Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Maybe Job would be better. Or Job, oh, I don't know. Maybe you're first. Now you go, oh, no, that's narcissistic. I can't be first. Actually, you need to be first, and then Christ needs to be first at the same time. You got to look after yourself. If you don't look after yourself, you can't be effective looking after others. So just rearrange the wording there. It should be maybe you can just run the letters together, okay? Y and the J. Just put maybe the J on top of the Y. I don't know what you do, but remember, you need to look after yourself before you can look after others. You don't need to sacrifice. You don't need to die for someone else because Christ already did. All right? Pastors need to hear this. You don't need to die for the church. Christ already did. So hang in there. You're not the Savior. Is that a relief? Just think, you're not the Savior in anybody's life. Wow. Now what are you going to do with all your spare time? Anyways, I want to talk about this fruit of the Spirit, joy. And so let's look in Luke chapter 1, verse 43 to 45. And this is a story that we know, and we always use it around Christmas time, and we always use it when we're talking about John the Baptist as the forerunner. But listen to this, verse 43, picking it up. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come and visit me? So Elizabeth is talking to Mary. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, listen to this, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Okay, and was filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Not much in our kind of way of praying for somebody, just like leapt for joy. Now, and this is really interesting. The next slide here. In a message, it says, the moment the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the babe in my womb skipped like a lamb for sheer joy. Have you ever seen lambs do that? Elaine and I raised sheep on Salt Spring Island, and we would just pull up a lawn chair. We'd get a cup of tea, and we'd watch our lambs. And there would be three of them walking along, and one in the middle would do exactly that. They have no control. They just go right up in the air and fall down. And then they would get back in the sequence, and they'd be going along, and then it'd be the front one would go. Or the last one would go. Or they'd all three go, and they'd be all laying on the ground. They just springing full of joy. Can you imagine? Now, I've never been pregnant. I've looked like I've been pregnant a few times, but I haven't been pregnant. But when the baby moved in Elaine's tummy, it was pretty cool. How do you think of Elizabeth when the kid did like a somersault and probably kicked all the way through? Like, can you imagine? The presence of God, because she knew it was the Holy Spirit that did that. This is what we need to understand, is that God has something for us. We need to have the Holy Spirit, and we need to leap for joy. And Proverbs 13:30 says this, light in a messenger's eyes brings a joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Light in a messenger's eyes. You need to be beings, not doings. We can do joy. We can be happy. We can do happy has always got to do with circumstances. Paydays are happier than non-paydays, right? Right? I think they are. I go, oh yes, now and then. And then about 15 minutes later, it goes sucked into all those vortexes that need my money that I pre-spent. I really enjoyed it when I pre-spent it, but I don't like paying it back. And so this is the case of not doing joy, but this is the case of being joy. So the little baby inside, little John, he didn't have a beard then. Little John the Baptist, he didn't do anything. He just was full of the Holy Spirit. He was just being joy. You understand the difference? We need to be joy. We need to have the light in the eyes when people look at us. The eyes are the window to your soul. So you've seen it. You looked in us. Some people are just compelling. You just want to be around them. You see them you just kind of warm up to them right away. Another period, people stare through you. Like you kind of back up and they come at you. You back up a bit more and they're just looking right at you and you go, that's uncomfortable. Like you think maybe, you know, like, is there something on my face? Like, you know, did I miss someplace shaving? No, the ladies wouldn't do that, but is there somewhere I missed is there something stuck in my teeth? Have you ever done that? You smile. Elaine and I went out for one of our anniversaries and we were sitting in this restaurant. We just had a big steak dinner. It was just kind of really special, celebrating, and we had tiramisu. You know what tiramisu is? It's really good. And it's got this dried chocolate on the top. And so we were sharing one of these, and the restaurant was full, kind of a high-end restaurant. And she took a little spoonful of this, and then she smiled at me, and she didn't know, but three of her teeth were blacked out. So I didn't tell her. So I took mine, and then I smiled at her, and she saw that four of mine were gone. And then we kept eating this, and we were laughing away. And the people in the restaurant thought we were probably off our medications or something, but it was so funny. That's, you know, and we could see it in her eyes. Our eyes were dancing. There was joy there. Your eyes need to dance. No, oh, well, you know, I've just been through the car windshield. I've used that one before. You know, launched right through, didn't use my seatbelt, and was texting, and I went through the windshield, even though I was driving. You don't have a lot of light in your eyes then. And you're not a lot of full of joy. But the Holy Spirit's still inside that broken vessel. And you need to be, not do. So joy originates with the Word of God. That's where you get your joy. It's not from, I mean, this was so beautiful. I knew on Wednesday I would come here Sunday morning today and it would be a beautiful place to be in the presence of God. I just knew that. God showed me that. But the joy comes from the Word of God and salvation. 1 Peter, listen to this, 1:7. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold. I would really like to have a lot of gold. Even though it's down, I remember when it was really up there, like $2,400 and $2,600 an ounce, but I'd even take a bar or two at this rate. Greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. You haven't seen him. Well, maybe some of you have had that kind of, a relation where God has come and shown himself to you in a miraculous way. But what we're talking about is you never seen him when he walked on the earth, but you believe him. And you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are all filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. It's not because you're in our Richmond Pentecostal church that you can be filled with joy. It's not because you have your Pentecostal membership card and you know you're going to heaven. Hallelujah. It's not that. It's not that you have a long lineage of Christian people in your family that guarantees something. It's not because God just is there. It's because you have salvation that will last forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. You have the gift of salvation. Jesus Christ died for your sins. You got to be joyful about that. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You ever thought about that? This is the end result. Salvation, well, you know, I haven't been to heaven, so I don't know whether it works. The end result of your faith. This is it. I believe I'm going to heaven. I believe that I'm going to heaven because I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. And he said, yes. That's it. And now we're on this journey. One day we're going to go to heaven. Some of us will go sooner. Some of us are going to catch the rapture bus and we're all going to go together. But we're going. And we're going because there's a lot of people already there and we're going to see them for all eternity. You know what? We're going to see Jesus. I'm going to see. Have you ever thought about that? I remember somebody saying to me, so who do you want to see first when you get to heaven? I said, my dad. I did. And I still do. My brother, Doug, Wilf, a friend who led me to Christ, the best gift that I ever received in my whole entire life was salvation. And he had the guts to say, hey, Caruso. You know what he told me? Him and I were rough and tough. We used to fight lots. I love that Moab picture, that course I'm going to teach. We're not going to get into hand-to-hand combat, okay? We're going to do verbal de-escalation, so we won't. I can teach that other piece. That's a lot more fun, because if you stop talking, we just take you down. Okay, but we're not going to go there with that. But Wilf was a guy that drank and fought and carried on. And he said to me, after he became a Christian, he said to me, you know what, Caruso, you're good enough to be a Christian. As a drinker and fighter still, he was different. I said... And that appealed to me. It did, because I didn't think I was good enough. And he led me to Christ, and years later he passed away. A few years later he passed away. And I was driving one day, and I was thinking about what he said. He said, you're good enough to be a Christian. And I realized that all he said was, you're a sinner like everyone else. But he said it in such a nice way. You see, that's the deal. You're a sinner unless you know Jesus Christ has forgiven you your sins. You can argue with that. You can fight about that. But you know what? We were born in sin. Now, maybe some of us were more decrepit than others. But the bottom line is, unless you know Jesus Christ, you cannot get to heaven if you do not accept him. So this is something to be joyful about. I think I'm shouting. My kids were here. They say, Dad, you're shouting again. Because I'm joyful about this message. It's the best one I've downloaded from the internet so far. Acts chapter 16 says this. At the hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and immediately he and all his house were baptized. Can you imagine? There's this big baptismal service going on. I love that today. Pastor Stephen and Tony up there, wherever you are. Tony, there you are. Thank you for doing that. And Johnny and William, you guys, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. And so the jailer brought them into this house and set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. I don't know. My dad died when I was 13, and he accepted the Lord 2 weeks maybe before he died. I don't know. I don't know whether I think he prayed this prayer for his family because none of us were saved, or I wanted him to pray this prayer now. But I believe that this prayer is one you need to pray for your household. You need to pray that your household will come to know Jesus Christ. Isaiah 12, verse 3, it says, with joy you shall draw waters from the wells of salvation. You need to be in that well all the time. You just need to be in that living water. That's what it is. It's living water. And you just need to draw that out. Inside of you, there's a river that flows. And it flows inside of you, and it's the Holy Spirit. You need to have that. You know what? I had a picture one time of an artesian well. You know what an artesian well is? It's kind of bubbles up. You can't stop it. It runs all over the place. That's the way we are when we are free in the Holy Spirit. We're a big convert, a convert. We're yeah, a convert, but we're a conduit. We're a culvert. We're some vessel that the Holy Spirit can just wash up from and spill all over the place. But the Lord showed me one time that my well was covered with debris. And it kind of showed me it was like this big Ritz cracker on top of my well. And you could see little things. You could see a little bit of light through, you know, the holes in the Ritz cracker before you put the peanut butter on them, you know. And I just saw that I was restricted in the flow of the Holy Spirit. And God started to work in my life to take some of that debris away. And then, boy, I tell you, the well starts running. And you cannot contain it. Isn't that awesome? It's not going to make you do stupid things. But you will have in your eyes, when you're the messenger, you'll have so much life. People will go, hey, there's something different about you, and it's a good different. I want that. You don't have to come out and meet everybody every time you see them and talk King James and give them Bible tracts. And you may need to do that, but I'll tell you something. All you have to do is let the Holy Spirit run out of you, and they'll see it in your eyes, and they'll see it in your being. All you're doing is being, not doing. And you know, we need a lot more people full of joy in this world than we do. There's some real cranky pants out there. Have you noticed that? Like, they're just miserable people. Really miserable. You might encounter them in a store or something, and they just go, "Wait, girl, what do you want?" Probably not what you're selling. But you know what? They're cranky for some reason. But you don't have to be cranky. If you're cranky, you got to say, What Ritz crackers on my well? Let's get rid of it, God, so that I pour out the way that I should with the Holy Spirit. Psalm 51:12 says this, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant with me a willing spirit to sustain me." David knows all about that. That's his repentance psalm. Grant unto me, restore unto me the joy. Have you ever lost your joy? Have you ever just been so kind of down? Why are you so down? Why are you so downcast, oh my soul? David said that so many times. What is it that drives us down? It's all sorts of circumstances, and we need to get God to take the debris off our well. Help dissolve it. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So this is my word that goes out from my mouth, and it will not return empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." The word of God is what makes the difference. It's not Jim Caruso. It's not any preacher you hear. It's got to be the word of God. And the word of God should be in all sermons. The word of God is something you should read. I've been reading the word of God for a while now, and in the last, I don't know, 6 months, the word of God is coming alive to me again. Like I'm thinking, I read this. I preached this in here. I never seen that. What's going on? Really? That's exciting. The word of God is alive. And it'll achieve what its purpose is. You'll go out with joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Well, that really went bad, didn't it? Oh, well. I don't know how that happened. I got it really good here. And all the trees of the field will clap. Can you imagine? If you can see that, when you see the wind blowing, what they're doing is they're waving at God. When they start clapping, I would get out of that forest. Okay, because they might start snapping and clapping. But I would say that you need to look at creation, because creation glorifies God. Just go for a walk down in our beautiful Steveston area in the evening and look at the colors that God creates in the sky. Absolutely stunning. And there's a whole bunch of flowers. I don't even know what kind they are, and they're alive because they're nowhere near my house. They're just beautiful, all different colors and all different types of plants, and they're just gorgeous, and he planted them there. John 5:15-10 says, "If you keep my commandments and remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and remained in his love, I've told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So there's the formula. You're looking for a formula. What do? Keep his commandments. What are his commandments? Love your neighbor. Oh, really? Like, I'd rather be depressed. I mean, do you know my neighbor, God? Obviously, you don't know my neighbor. Love my neighbor as yourself. I don't like myself, so I guess we're okay. I don't like myself, I don't like my neighbor, so that's okay. You need to work on yourself. You need to understand that God loves you, that God doesn't make junk, that God cares for you, God loves you, God wants to move in your life. He is proud of you. Did you hear me? He is proud of you. Good, I've been pounding the pulpit lots, haven't I? Let's come over me, Pastor Stephen. Ha. I just really believe that if we do and follow after Christ, if we become more like him, the joy of the Holy Spirit will come pouring out of us. And that's a good way to be. I'm always criticized, or not criticized, but mocked. I don't know that that's it, but I whistle all the time. I come in here and I'm whistling, and I as a paramedic, I'd be going down the hall with my stretcher like this, walking down, and I'd be whistling in the hallways. And some of the nurses come like, "You shouldn't be making noise like that." I thought, "Wow, sweet care you'd give someone." And I don't like, okay, now I'm going to whistle so people know I'm whistling. I whistle. I wouldn't be very good as a stealth investigator. I'd be in the dark behind a bush going, then be just like, you just see flashes of light from the gun. And then the whistling would stop. Because you can't whistle when you have extra holes in you. All right? There's a joy inside of you. You can express it. You can express it with your face. Some people, their eyes just are so alive. You just look in their eyes and you can see life. They got a big smile on their face and you go, like, does it ever go away? You want joy, you want God's joy to be complete in you. Nehemiah says this: go and enjoy food and drink. Or go enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. Let's bow our heads in prayer and go for lunch. I'm liking this. And send some of those who have nothing prepared. And send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So I would say that's an invitation to sit down and have a good cup of hot tea with sugar in it and some apple pie. And not grieve. Isaiah 58:13 says this: if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not doing your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. Oh, there's a legalistic trip. And you know what? Pentecostals are good for that. Boy, don't you play baseball. You will go to hell. On Sunday, you will go right to hell with the ball in the glove, and you'll know why you're there. Don't you ever go to a theater with lipstick on. And that's for the guys, too. We had all these rules and regulations, and so nobody, and Elaine and I were just new in Christendom. We didn't know any of the rules, sorry. So we lived in this little Christian cul-de-sac. A bunch of people from our church all lived in this same cul-de-sac. On Sunday morning, I came back from the church, and we didn't have a lawnmower. My lawn was pretty high, so I went and knocked on the board member's door and said, "Hey, can I borrow your lawnmower?" Well, you just think I stuck a knife in him or something like that. Really? Like, I say, "Yeah, my lawn, this is the only day I have to do it." "Well, it's Sunday." I said, "Well, yeah, I'm not that stupid. I drive ambulance. I got some things going for me." But the reality was that you don't mow your lawn. You don't even cook food. It's okay for you to order somebody else food from somebody else and they cook it for you. but they have to deliver it and cut it up. This is not words of legalism here. What he's saying is you need to take some time off. You need to take some time and reflect on me. And you need to take some time and not do stuff that takes and distracts you from me. So what do you need to do? You just need to do something that's enjoyable. Do something. If you like reading the Word, go ahead and read the Word, but don't read it so that you can get something out of it to give to somebody else. This is for you. Sabbath is selfish. Actually, it's not. Sabbath is self-care. And God is really strong in that. And I'll tell you, if you follow that in a rhythm in your life, you're going to be joyful. Because you're not going to be tired. You're going to be refreshed in your spirit, your soul, and your body. John 17:12, Jesus' prayer for us. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they might have the full measure of my joy within them. Isn't that awesome? I've been to a lot of funerals. And Jesus was setting up his team because he was going to die. He's going to die a tragic death. He's going to die, and they're going to be scattered. And what Jesus was saying is, hey, I want you to understand this, that when I'm gone, you can still have joy. And you know, when we have a celebration of life, when somebody passes away, we have a celebration of life. There's grieving, absolutely, and God has created us to feel. But I'll tell you something, there's joy knowing that they had a huge part in your life. And if it's parents, they created you through God. Isn't that amazing? Like I see in our kids, I can see me and I can see Elaine. And often the good parts are Elaine. You know how it is? I know those other pieces are mine. But when we are in this opportunity to have the fullness of God inside us through Jesus Christ, he prayed that for us. And he prays that for us continually. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. You are not of this world. Don't drive your tent pegs down too deep, okay? Get ready to go. And I'm saying get ready to go. Maybe you're going to go home to be with the Lord, but I'm saying get ready because he's coming back for his church. Okay, he's coming back for his church, but get ready to go maybe somewhere to minister in a whole different capacity than you are. Get ready, okay? Get ready because he's coming back for a church that's alive and doing something, okay? And that's not a condemnation thing. What I'm doing is getting excited because there's joy in serving the Lord. There's awesome joy in serving the Lord. Elaine and I are blessed. We're full of joy because we are allowed to be your pastors. We are full of joy because of that. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says this, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with the power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction, you know how we lived among you for your sake. There is more than just that the word coming to you, but it comes to you with power. You can listen to me. You can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You can talk to somebody about Jesus Christ and they will respond to the Holy Spirit. You can encourage somebody. You can have a word from God for somebody. You can be used in all these areas. Every one of you who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and is willing to let him do that in your life. Not just words. The power. Verse 6 says, and you become imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And some of you are in that, and some of you have been in that, and some of you tragically might go into that. But either whether you have been, are now, or will go, it's the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we will not know him as well until we know the fellowships of his sufferings, the power will come from that. It strips away everything else. Nothing matters. If you've driven your tent pegs really down when you're going through something, you know what? Tent pegs don't mean anything. Nothing, even in the tent, is worth value. 1 Thessalonians 1:7, it says, "And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia." So you're an example. You're an example to brothers and sisters. You're an example to this world. And here's the beauty here, Hebrews 12:1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the perfecter and the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith." And listen to this, Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Go figure that. He knew what was going to happen. But he knows the joy that it brings to your life for salvation. There would be no salvation without the cross. There would be no joy without his suffering. There would be no invitation to go to be with the Father forever except for the cross. And he looked at the cross 2,000 some years ago, and he saw every one of you in here, and he said, "This is worth it." And I'm pumped. I'm pumped about going to beat the devil at his own game. And the devil said, "You know what? I got him. He's dead." And I love this champion song years and years ago. It kind of pictures Jesus fighting with the devil. Devil knocks him out. And then he's laying on the canvas. And you hear the angels going, not 1, 2, 3, but 10, 9, 8, 7. And you can hear the demons going, "That's not going well. 6, 5. What's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. 4, 3, 2, 1. And he stands up and he defeats the enemy for all eternity. It is finished. He is the conqueror. And we should be joyful that we are on his side, that he has won the battle for all of us. Scorning at shame. We could go on for that a long time. And sat down at the right hand of the throne of God and said, "Hey, Dad, it's done. It's done. All these people here, all these people all over the world right now, people from yesterday, people today, and people in the future, all of them, I paid for them." Once for all, the Hebrews writer says, once for all. So consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you don't grow weary and lose heart, okay? And I'll close with this, Jude 1, verse 20 to 21. "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to come to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from all stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. So be it. Therefore, we were sinners. So be it, we are saved. Therefore, we were sinners. So be it, we are saints." Is that something to be joyful about? Yes. Awesome. Would you please stand? I'd like the team to come. We're going to do the song again, the invitation into a presence of God, our mighty, holy God, rich in grace and mercy. And maybe you're here for the first time and we want to welcome you, but we want to welcome you to respond to the Holy Spirit. It's Him that will make the difference in your life, not attending our church. It's Him who will change your life for all eternity. It's Him who will give you the joy that will become your strength. It'll become what people see in your face. The joy of the Lord. The joy that God is praying, Jesus is praying for us today. I'd like the prayer team to come up as we go into this song. We'll officially dismiss. But before we do that, I just want to say this prayer with you again. Maybe you're here for the first time and you've never said this prayer. Or maybe you're really dry and you feel that, hey, there's so much stuff on my artesian well, I don't know how to get rid of it. Say this prayer. But say it to God. And then we're gonna just close in prayer after that, and you're free to go or free to stay. We'd enjoy it if you would just stay and maybe pray for people, or you can come up front. So I want you to say this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for salvation. I thank you for the joy that it brings. I thank you for the debris that it removes from my life, my sin. And so I ask that you will forgive my sins right now. And that you would come into my heart and be my Savior. And I ask you to be my best friend. And I ask your Holy Spirit to guide me, that I might have the character of Jesus Christ, so that this world can see your love. So I receive you now, Jesus, and thank you, amen. Father, I pray for this congregation, and some will go and some will stay here for prayer. I just pray right now that you would just guide and direct these next few moments, because they're very important. And I just encourage anyone who said that prayer for the first time, or maybe have rededicated your life with it, to come and see myself or one of the pastors here or one of the board members. And just tell them we got some information here for you, some Bibles and things. And so we just ask that you would just, Father, we just ask that you would just guide and direct and bless every person this day, whether they stay for a while or they go home, keep them safe. And we give you the praise for what you're about to do in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So would the prayer team come, pastors, board members, spouses, if they feel comfortable, just come up. And then if you want prayer, I want you to just come quickly up here and respond to the Holy Spirit. Pastor Randy.